Welcome to the Marketing Q&A. I'm Paul Mark Rendon, Senior Writer for Marketing Magazine. And this is a conversation I had with Kathleen Fanato, the Senior Director for North American Marketing at Motorola, who was in Toronto recently to help launch the Crazer. That's Motorola's successor to its wildly popular Razr model. And just as an indicator of how successful the Razr is, it sold more than 50 million units worldwide and counting, putting it neck and neck with the iPod, of all things. She talked to me a bit about how Motorola intends on spending its marketing dollars. We talked a bit about segmentation, and even a bit about where she sees the cell phone industry going. Here goes. In your own words, how do you explain the success of the Razr?
I think the Razr really caught the market off guard. It was something like nobody had ever seen it before.
Yeah.
And I think people got, as we were just having a conversation over there, Peter and I, we were talking about how up until the Razr, I think people kind of expected cell phones to all kind of look alike, and they were starting to all look alike. And then the Razr just was unlike anything that had ever been done. It truly revolutionized what was out there. And I know internally when we looked at the Razr, we considered who would be the likely target customer for the Razr. Is it a limited group of people? Is it just men? Is it women? I remember having an argument with my chief marketing officer at the time. He was convinced Razr, this was long before we launched it, it's just going to be for men. Because it's hard edges, it's thin, it's very masculine feeling, very technical. It was Jeffrey Frost.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jeffrey, no, I think women are going to like it because you can pick it up and it fits into an evening bag.
Yeah.
And you know, phenomenally, what happened is, you know what, it appealed to both men and women evenly.
Yeah.
And it really didn't skew one way or the other. I think it just took over. And it's, you know, when I walk down the street and I see teenagers carrying it now, you really know it's become a phenomenon.
Okay, so how are you going to make sure that you guys don't peak with the Razr?
I don't think we have peaked. I think we're just getting started. And, you know, I don't think you look at the Razr and say we're done. I think there's other things we can do with the Razr. And as Peter alluded to, the Razr starts is really this the starting point for our whole design language.
Yep.
The whole thin idea is you're seeing that reflected in all the products that we're developing. And what we start to evolve now is not just thin, but also the materials.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to drive innovation in what the design is.
Yep.
It's beyond just the form factor, because everybody's copying that. So now you raise the bar.
Right.
Now look at new materials and do things in unique ways that others aren't doing it.
Okay, I see. So when it comes to your advertising,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to you about how critical you think TV is.
I think it depends on the market. And it depends on who you're talking to.
How's that?
TV, it's very splintered. It's very hard, unless you have a huge advertising budget, to get out in a very mass way. So what we try to do with all of our marketing is to be very strategic and almost surgical in how we take our messaging. Make sure all of our creative is breakthrough. We don't have the huge marketing dollars that a lot of consumer electronics companies have.
You don't?
No. Seems like we do, because it seems like our messaging is very ubiquitous. I think it's because we're very smart in where we put our messaging, and we have creative that stands out from the crowd.
Who's doing your creative, by the way?
It varies. We work with a number of different agencies around the world.
I see.
But we do try to create advertising that is consistent around the world. So all of our what we call our iconic products, our major flagship products, like Razr, like Crazer, we'll develop one campaign, and we'll use that campaign around the world. So we design everything with very much an international feel, and design it in a way that it can find relevance in all the different cultures around the world.
So who was your lead agency on, you know, the Hello Moto launch?
At the time, it was Ogilvy and Mather.
And now?
Now it depends.
Awesome.
The Q campaign was done by Goodby Silverstein,
yeah.
And this most recent Crazer campaign was done by TBWA.
Mm, I see. So I noticed you guys didn't do a Super Bowl spot last year.
We ran spots that already existed.
Oh, I see. Okay,
we ran two spots. We were in pregame and we were in game.
Okay.
We ran the Pebble spot and we ran Sliver.
If TV is sort of a question mark and it depends and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff, where do you see the money going? Where's your spend funneling towards?
We're getting smarter in doing more experience marketing, events such as what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We know it's important to touch consumers, but it's also important to touch the retail reps that are talking to consumers,
yeah.
what we call the last 3 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the more we can do around experience marketing, where we can influence not only consumers, but also those retail reps,
yeah.
and have them actually experience the brand
yeah.
in a way that's unique and different, I think that carries a lot more leverage than simply a TV spot will do.
Mm. And you said, you know, talking about the last 3 feet, how exactly do you guys pick and choose which retailer to go with, or, you know, which trade, and how does that work?
Well, it's not run out of the marketing organization, that's run through the sales organization.
Uh-huh.
Some of it's defined by the product technology, and a lot of it just happens in conversations with the customers. What are their particular requirements? How can we meet those?
I see, okay.
There's really not a focused...
That's got so many consequences for what you guys are doing, though, doesn't it? I mean, like...
In terms of?
Well, I mean, if the sales rep has got the strategy in their head about what to say and how to deliver the message, and that last 3 feet, as you said.
I think we all work as one big team. I don't see any sales reps not being in sync with what our brand message is and where our product portfolio is. There's really no disconnect. It's very synchronous between what our design philosophy is, what our brand philosophy is, and really what our sales strategy is.
Yeah.
I think it all works very closely together.
Yeah. You know, a hot topic up here has been segmentation. How do you guys do segmentation? How do you see segmentation?
We segment based on really attitudes more than your typical demographics.
Uh-huh.
We find that people that are very into technology could be 16, they could also be 60. It's really but an attitude. And more the psychographics. So we have segmented our customers. We're in the process. Every year we try to revise it and take a look at where the market trends are going and figure out, you know, are there additional insights that we can gain about the marketplace, and how can that influence what we do from a marketing standpoint as well as from a product design standpoint.
My last question for you was, how exactly you work with Peter? I mean, when in the process of coming up with a new product does marketing come in?
Marketing's involved from the get-go.
Right
from the start, we see where our consumer experience design group is going. I'm well aware of what the whole Peter Fanner Group and Jim Wicks is his boss.
Yeah.
What that organization is doing and sort of their philosophy around materials and designs and finish and the whole four key points that he talked about in terms of simplicity, honesty, richness, and I'm not going to remember the fourth one. I knew there was going to be a quiz. but that design language is really relevant to what we do from a creative standpoint.
Yeah.
So, you know, 6 to 8 months out before a product's going to launch, we take a lot of those insights that they've gathered from a design standpoint, and we approach it from a concept lab with consumers and say, okay, here's the product idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the product, how it's developing. Here's what we know about it, and try to get some consumer insights as well and use that to develop our marketing message.
I'm hearing that more and more, that marketing's got to get involved right from the beginning. Otherwise, I mean, any smart company is doing that now.
It has to be a collaborative process. I would say that the Motorola 20 years ago was very much an engineering company, and very much if we build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And I think Motorola of today is still a very strong engineering company, but very marketing savvy. And it's a very collaborative process, understanding what are the market needs, anticipating what those needs are. Because you can't just build for what they want today. You have to build for what they'll want in the future.
Yeah. I thought of one more question. You know how music is becoming, or has become, like the sort of big value add, mm-hmm. having music on your phone or being able to download MP3s? What's the next sort of range of value adds that you guys see?
You tell me, you're a consumer. I think music is different to different people. Video is another big compelling part. I mean, there may be people that are very into music. I'm very into video. I want to see movies on the small screen, the third screen.
Yeah.
There could be things such as the examples that Mike Cordy was giving about how you use your cell phone and you replace your wallet. Use it to transfer money. Use it to open your car. Use it as your credit card. I think it's wide open. That's what's so exciting about this industry.